May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At the beginning of this academic year, the University of Surrey, our near neighbour, faced something of a crisis. Because it's an internationally renowned university, it's able to fill all its courses. But this, of course, brings its own challenges. Those of us on the accommodation list found ourselves bombarded by emails from students all over the country, indeed all over the world, desperate to find somewhere to live. There seemed to be a crisis of hospitality. Hospitality means to offer a welcome, a place of safety and well-being, to give ready acceptance to a visitor, guest or stranger. Lydia, a resident of Philippi, was a woman of some substance. Probably a Gentile, and whether a widow or an unmarried daughter, certainly a very successful businesswoman who dealt in materials at the high end of fashion. Only the wealthy could possibly have afforded garments which were made from cloth dyed in exotic and expensive purple. Lydia had done well for herself. She owned a large house and probably had servants. Paul and his companions met her outside the town at a place of prayer by the river, the nearest thing Philippi could probably get to a synagogue. Presumably the town did not boast the qualifying number of Jewish men to form one. Lydia was on what we might now call a journey of faith, seeking to know God and open to listen to what Paul had to say. The prayer time by the river must have developed into conversation, since there's no reference to Paul preaching on this occasion. But whatever it was that was said touched Lydia's heart so much as she listened to what Paul had to say, that she and her household, another indication of her status, were very soon baptized. And then she asked Paul to stay in her house. And she urged him to stay, offering generous hospitality, recognizing that Paul and his companions came with a gift of good news to share. Lydia took a risk. Paul obviously prevaricated and hesitated before accepting the invitation. Lydia must have sensed that her offer might be rejected, so she tries to press her credentials as a God-fearer. "If you know and have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed. Her offer was accepted. All turned out well. The church in Philippi grew, and Paul had probably the most comfortable lodging of any he experienced anywhere on his extensive journeys. And, as the Epistle to the Philippians reminds us, he received much joy and encouragement from the friendships made. Hospitality is one of the most precious gifts we can offer. Some years ago, on a short break, a study break in Vancouver, I was in a lecture writing some notes with a pen given me by a friend. Imagine the surprise when at the end of the hour, a man came over to me and said, "I see you are the only person in the lecture room using a fountain pen." It was before the days of iPads, but how old-fashioned is that? "Can I look at it, please?" he said, "because I collect fountain pens." Conversation soon turned from pens to sharing something of our ministries. An Anglican vicar from England and a Lutheran pastor and chaplain in a forensic psychiatric unit. He showed several of us round that beautiful city and invited me to visit his family. A few evenings later, sitting chatting on the decking outside their house, hearing about their planned visit to England later that year, of course I offered them hospitality, and they came, and a friendship was formed which lasts to this day. Jesus said, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them and will come to them, and we will make our home with them." These words come in the context of this morning's gospel, where Jesus is speaking about the physical separation which was about to take place between him and his disciples, and the gift of the Holy Spirit which he promises them, a gift which will come after he has gone away. The Holy Spirit, creative breath and energy of God. The Holy Spirit, God alongside us to strengthen us, and God within us to change us, to make us more and more like Jesus, our Saviour. The Holy Spirit, the love which flows ceaselessly between Father and Son. The Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Father and of the Son, God at home with us. The seasons of the Christian year continually give us the opportunity to re-experience in an ever-deepening way the meaning of the gospel story. And in this season between Ascension and Pentecost, to consider the amazing truth that God, the Holy Spirit, desires to dwell, to be at home with us. We might, like Lydia, anxiously parade our credentials. At our baptism, the priest and our sponsors prayed that we would receive the Holy Spirit. In our confirmation, a bishop prayed the same prayer. Here we are this morning, worshipping and seeking to love God and to serve the world for which Christ died. Surely, we must have the Holy Spirit in us already. Certainly, yes, that is completely true. And yet there are times in the Christian life when we long for more. We may even feel like that great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, who is reputed to have said, "I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I leak." We may long to experience in a deeper sense the life-changing presence of God. And at that moment, we no longer rely on the prayer of others. We need to ask for ourselves. And there is a simple way of praying at such a time. First comes the recognition of that movement of the heart, a longing to love God more and to experience God's presence more deeply. Then comes a time of waiting, just as the disciples waited in the upper room after Jesus had ascended, waiting as he had instructed for the precious promised gift of the Spirit. And if you don't like waiting, remember that when we offer someone hospitality, they don't come around to our house all at once, but a little later. They come at exactly the right moment. So we wait trustingly. So in the next 2 weeks, you might like to find a quiet place each day and set aside some time, maybe just 10 minutes, and begin by breathing gently and becoming aware of the rhythm of your breath, the breath of life within you. After a few moments, as you breathe in, say the words, "Come, Holy Spirit." And as you breathe out, I welcome you. God doesn't intrude upon us nor force us, but in humility and vulnerability, which utterly amazes us as we realize it, God waits for us to offer the hospitality of our heart and life. And as we do so, probably not for the first time, but because we need to do so now, anything may happen, but whatever it is will be a blessing. There will be a gift, maybe that deep gift of peace of which our gospel spoke this morning. Peace in a troubled world would be a gift indeed. And as we offer the hospitality of our life to the Creator and Sustainer of the universe, as we allow God's Spirit to dwell ever more deeply within us, we shall discover that we come more hospitable to one another and to others whom we do not yet know. We shall also find ourselves living out more easily one of the ideals of this cathedral church, which is to be a community of welcome, a place of friendly and generous acceptance of one another, offering hospitality to guests, visitors, or strangers. A community dedicated to the Holy Spirit. And maybe there won't even be another crisis of hospitality at the beginning of the next academic year. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Alleluia. Amen.